he initially saw 8 patients that had a similar cluster of symptoms, the swearing, the involuntary movements, the impulsivity and such, and he was the first person that thought, well, geez, we should maybe put a name to this. He himself, when he wrote a paper with a fellow by the name of Charcot, called it Malady de Tic, literally the tic sickness, and has gone under a number of name changes since then. It was known as the Wandering Jew disease at one point. Freud, when he got a hold of the disorder, decided that it was a symbolic manifestation of the repressed need to masturbate. And so it's had a lot of different names and a lot of different conceptions over time. But in 1978, a doctor by the name of Shapiro wrote a book called Tourette Syndrome, where he coined the disorder after George Gilles Tourette, the original founder.
So it was only 22 years ago that this was actually given a name.
Exactly, and very misunderstood up to that point. I mean, certainly I'm glad I wasn't born 200 years ago, because I probably would have had my skull trifened, or they would have bled the evil spirits out. But even over the last 100 years, I mean, we were seen as I say, repressing sexual urges by Freud. We were seen as genetically inferior around World War II time. We were seen as just behavior problems, or, you know, we needed a good swift kick so we'd be more motivated to not act like idiots, even as, you know, late as the 60s and 70s. So it's only been in the last 20 years or so that quite a bit of more serious neurological and psychological research has been done into the disorder to see that it's indeed a valid condition.
Now you say we, so you have Tourette's.
I have Tourette's myself. I actually wear a number of hats. I do research in Tourette syndrome. I hope to work clinically in the next year with people with Tourette syndrome. And yes, I experienced the disorder myself.
Okay. How many people have Tourette syndrome? I guess we'll say in Canada or worldwide. I don't know if you have numbers.
Sure. I'll give you percentages.
Okay.
Traditionally, Tourette syndrome was thought to be quite rare. It was believed maybe 1 in 20,000 people had this disorder. But as more and more information, awareness is presented, people are realizing more and more that it is more prevalent, that people just seem to be coming out of the woodwork now. Whereas people were misdiagnosed or just, you know, told that they had nervous habits or what before, they now realize there's a name for this. So as a result, the prevalence ratings continue to rise. The official stance of the Tourette Syndrome Foundation of Canada is that 1 in 200 people, half of 1%, have this disorder. But more recent research is going as high as 1, even 3%. Of course, it's very much a flavor of the month right now. There's a lot of attention and focus on Tourette Syndrome, so there's always the risk of overdiagnosis. That it's not really that unusual for very young children when they're developing to have a transient tic here and there. And so, while it's very good that people are watching closer and diagnosis is happening earlier, we also have to be careful not to go too far the other direction and mislabel people.
3%, that seems incredibly high. I mean, just given a look around the local community here, I wouldn't say 3%. Or is it masks? Am I just not seeing it?
Well, people with Tourette's actually didn't fall off the apple cart yesterday. There's some evidence to show that certainly the intelligence level is the same in people with Tourette's, and maybe in pure Tourette's may even be slightly higher than the average. And so these people know that what they're doing, they realize it looks bizarre, and they know they probably won't get too many dances at next Friday's prom if they're barking and shaking their head. And so you're absolutely right that people do what they call suppression. They work very hard to hold in their tics. And even when the tics slip out, people with Tourette's syndrome can get quite clever in masking how they come out. It's a term that the doctors use called parakinesia. And basically what that means is that we'll turn a violent mouth opening tic into, you know, a fake yawn. Or if we have a snorting tic such as what I just did, they'll tag a laugh on the end of it to make it look like they just snort when they laugh. So there's a number of ways that they can slip their symptoms by people without them realizing what's going on.
I was reading an article in the Vancouver Sun, and it was on Grizzlies point guard Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced his name, and he says that he masks it with a cough.
Yes. He's actually got a couple of neat parakinesic examples. I remember another one I heard at one point was that he had a touching tic where he needed to touch people on the shoulder. And so being a sports star and being black, he worked that touching Tick into a whole routine where, you know, he'd go up and touch someone's shoulder and, hey, what's up, how's it going, and no one was the wiser because it just seemed to fit in with the whole part he was playing.
That's fabulous. What a way to integrate something that, you know, is part of you, would make people uncomfortable, and make it so that they don't even recognize it's there.
I have to say, suppression comes at a price. The best example that I can think of personally is, think of suppressing an itch. Think of being covered with poison ivy or the chicken pox or mosquito bites or what have you, and not giving in to the urge to itch. And you can appreciate the more and more conscious effort it takes to hold off on those itches. They seem to loom larger and larger and larger and demand more and more of your attention and become more and more insistent. And eventually you have to give in. And when you do give in, there's somewhat of a rebound effect where you really dig into the itch for a while because you've held off for so long and it's distracted you so much. And suppressing a tick is very similar to that. It takes a lot of conscious effort, and afterwards, you tend to experience more ticks as a result. This is where a lot of kids can get in trouble at school because, as I mentioned, they aren't stupid. They realize a lot of their peers might not understand and might laugh, and so the very last symptom they would ever want to let out are the various ticks, except that can make their school experience even more difficult because suddenly they don't have any mental resources left to be able to pay attention to math because they're waging this inner war that no one has any idea of even going on.
That would be your analogy to not being able to scratch an itch would be just, it'd be a hellish experience. Duncan, we need to take a short commercial break here, but please,
sure,
Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Your Health. If you have a comment or question about Tourette syndrome, call us toll-free, 1-866-377-8255. Send us an email, yourhealth@essentialtalk.com, or go to the Daily Debate section, click on Your Health, and post your comments live. We'll be sure to address them after the break.